Pull up the sectional for the busiest airport near you. The big one. The one with the airliners. See that ring of solid blue lines stacked on top of each other, like somebody dropped a wedding cake and it landed upside down? All those little numbers 90 over 30, 80 over 40, 100 over the surface? That's the airspace that trips up more otherwise good pilots than almost anything else on the chart. And most of the trouble comes down to one word that a lot of folks think they heard and didn't. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, where we try to send you back to the airport a little sharper than you left it. Today we're doing an airspace refresher, and we're going right to the deep end. Class Bravo, let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones that cost you sweat and money and a few gray hairs. AviationSoul.com. Okay, Class Bravo. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The airspace classes are not ranked by how scary they are. They're ranked by how much protection air traffic control is wrapping around the airplanes inside them. And Class Bravo is the most protected airspace you'll fly in as a light general aviation pilot. It surrounds the busiest airports in the country. Places moving hundreds of airliners an hour full of jets that can't slow down and can't turn on a dime. So the whole design philosophy of the Bravo is simple. Positive control. The controller knows where every single airplane is, and the controller is responsible for keeping them apart. Every airplane in there is talking to the same team and doing what that team says. Which leads us to the single most important thing about Class Bravo, and the thing I want you to remember, if you forget everything else I say today, you cannot enter Class Bravo airspace until the controller says the words. Cleared into the Bravo. Not radar contact, not proceed on course, not maintain VFR. Those are nice. Those are not a clearance. The regulation, that's 14 CFR 91431, says you need an ATC clearance before you operate inside the Bravo, and a clearance means you heard your call sign and you heard the word cleared. Here's how pilots get burned. You call up the approach controller, you're outside the ring, you're getting close, and you say your position and your request. The controller comes back with Cessna 345, NorCal approach, squawk 0412, and ident. And a lot of people hear that friendly, professional voice, give them a squawk code, and they think, great, I'm in the system, I'm cleared, and they keep flying straight ahead into the Bravo. You're not cleared. All that controller did was assign you a transponder code so they can find you on the scope. That's the beginning of a conversation, not the end of it. You have to hold outside that blue line until you specifically hear Cessna 345 cleared into the Bravo Class B airspace. If you're closing in on the boundary and you haven't heard those words yet, you turn. You start a 360, you parallel the line, you do whatever it takes to stay outside and you say so. NorCal 345 is remaining clear of the Bravo. Request clearance through. Say it out loud. Make them answer you. There is no shame in that call. The shame is in the pilot deviation report you get for busting the Bravo without a clearance. And yes, they will call your tail number and give you a phone number to write down. We call that getting the brasher warning, and it ruins your afternoon. So that's the golden rule. Now let's talk about the shape of the thing. Because Class Bravo is the one class where the shape actually matters for staying legal. Picture that upside-down wedding cake. At the center, right over the primary airport, the airspace usually goes from the surface all the way up to 10,000 feet in most Bravos. That's the bottom layer of the cake, and it's the widest at the top and narrowest at the bottom, which is exactly backwards from a real cake, hence the upside-down part. As you move outward from the airport, the floor steps up, right over the field. The floor is the surface. A few miles out, the floor might jump to 1,500 feet. Farther out, 3,000. Farther still. 4,000, 5,000 up and up as you get toward the outer ring. And this is the beautiful, useful thing about the design. It leaves room underneath. Those stepped-up floors create shelves of open airspace beneath the Bravo where you can fly along completely legally without ever talking to anybody. As long as you stay below the floor for wherever you are. This is where reading the chart correctly saves your certificate. On the sectional, every segment of the Bravo has two numbers stacked with a line between them. The top number is the ceiling, the bottom number is the floor. So if you see 100 over 40, that means that shelf of Bravo goes from 4,000 feet up to 10,000 feet. Below 4,000, right there, you're clear. You can fly along at 3,500 and never say a word. But here's the mistake people make. They glance at the chart, they see they're under the Bravo somewhere, and they assume the floor is the same everywhere. It is not. You slide 5 miles closer to the airport, and that floor drops from 4,000 to 3,000 to 1,500. If you're cruising along at 2,500 feet, perfectly legal here, and you keep going, you can fly right up into the belly of the Bravo without changing your altitude 1 foot, because the floor came down to meet you. So when you're scud running underneath a Bravo shelf, and I mean that in the good sense, staying under it legally, you've got to know which segment you're in and what the floor is right now this minute, for this piece of ground. Pick an altitude with a buffer. If the floor is 2,000, don't cruise at 1,980 feet. Give yourself a few hundred feet of cushion for altimeter error and for the moment you look down at the chart instead of the altimeter. Let's do a real scenario because this is scenario-based decision-making country. You're flying a Cessna 172 on a nice clear afternoon VFR and you want to cross over the top of a major metro area to get to a little airport on the far side. You've got two honest choices and both of them are correct airmanship. Choice 1. You go over the top. If the Bravo tops out at 10,000 feet, you climb to 11,500, a proper VFR cruising altitude for your direction, and you sail right over the whole wedding cake without ever entering it or talking to anybody. Clean, legal. No clearance needed because you're above the ceiling. The only question is whether your airplane and the day's density altitude will happily get you up there, and whether you want to be that high for a short hop. Choice 2. You go through it. You call approach well before you get near the line, you request a Bravo transition, and you let them route you through. This is the grown-up move, honestly, and I want to encourage it. Controllers in busy Bravo airspace vector VFR airplanes through all day long. You get flight following, you get traffic called out to you, you get separation from the jets, and you get comfortable talking on a busy frequency. Every one of those is a skill the examiner wants to see, and more importantly, every one of those makes you safer. Just remember the rule from earlier. You're not in until you hear cleared into the Bravo. Until then, you stay outside the line. Now, a few things about Class Bravo that catch people, and these are the details that separate a pilot who sort of knows the airspace from a pilot who actually owns it. First, the equipment to fly inside Class Bravo. You need a two-way radio, obviously. And you need a transponder with altitude reporting. That's mode C, the mode that sends your altitude down to the controller's scope. And since the ADS-B mandate, you need ADS-B out too. Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast. It's the box that broadcasts your position and altitude out to everybody inside the Bravo. That gear is required. And here's the part people miss. That equipment requirement doesn't stop at the blue line. There's a bigger, invisible ring around most Class Bravo airports called the Mode C Veil. It's a 30 nautical mile circle centered on the primary airport, and on the chart it's drawn as a thin magenta line, a big faint circle way out past the wedding cake. Inside that entire 30-mile veil from the surface all the way up, your transponder and your ADS-B out have to be on and working. Even if you're nowhere near the actual Bravo airspace, even if you're down low at some little grass strip out in the shelf, so you can be legally clear of the Bravo, no clearance needed, having a lovely quiet flight, and still be inside the Mode C Veil where your equipment has to be squawking. Two different rings, two different rules know which one you're inside. Second thing, the VFR weather minimums are actually easier in Class Bravo, and this surprises people. In most controlled airspace, you need 3 miles visibility and the classic distances from clouds, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. In Class Bravo, because the controller is separating everybody, the cloud rule relaxes to simply clear of clouds. You still need 3 statute miles of visibility, but you just have to stay out of the clouds, no specific distance. Why? Because ATC is keeping you apart from the other airplanes, so you don't need all that personal buffer to see and avoid NEAT. Little detail and the kind of thing the examiner loves to ask on the oral. Third, there's a special protection built into the floor of the Bravo just for students and low-time pilots, and I love that it exists underneath a Class Bravo shelf and beneath the ceiling generally, you're not allowed to bust up into it. But the FAA also built a rule that certain of the very busiest Bravos are completely off-limits to student pilots for takeoffs and landings at the primary airport. And those airports are listed specifically for everywhere else a student pilot can operate in and transition the Bravo. but only after receiving ground and flight training on that specific class Bravo and getting a logbook endorsement from an instructor saying so. That's 61.95. So if you're a student listening, you don't just wander into the Bravo on your own. You get the training, you get the signature, and then you go. Let me give you the practical takeaways you can actually use on your next flight. Before you launch anywhere near a Bravo, look at the chart and answer three questions out loud. Where's the floor for the segment I'll be under? Where's the 30-mile mode sea veil? And what's my plan? Over the top, through the middle, or underneath? Decide on the ground, not at 110 knots with the city filling up your windscreen. When you call approach, call early. Give yourself miles and minutes. A rushed request right at the boundary is how people end up turning frantic circles. Call while the line is still a comfortable distance ahead of the nose, and listen for the word. Cleared into the Bravo. If you didn't hear your call sign and you didn't hear cleared, you are not cleared, and you stay outside. When in doubt, ask. Say again, am I cleared into the Bravo? A controller would 1,000 times rather answer that question than write up your deviation. Here's the mindset I'll leave you with. New pilots treat Class Bravo like it's a wall of fire. It isn't. It's the most helpful airspace you'll ever fly in, staffed by professionals whose entire job is to keep you safe and moving. The transition through a big Bravo, done right, is one of the most satisfying flights you'll make. You just have to know the shape of the cake. Respect the invisible veil and wait for the words. The information today comes straight from 14 CFR Part 91, the FAA's Aeronautical Information Manual, and the Airspace section of the Airman Certification Standards. Read them yourself. They're written more plainly than you'd think. You can find us at radiohangar.com. Go pull up the sectional for your home Bravo tonight and trace those floors with your finger. Next time, it'll just make sense. I'm Pattern. Keep it outside the line until they clear you in. See you next time.